Okay, we're starting the bottom of Kuf Aleph Bet. Yesterday we left off discussing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah here. In the first page you have, go over again, the Shita of Rabbanon and the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, which will be important. Again, everybody agrees that we have a Chatzer, right, that sits in the middle, which is a Chatzer of 6x6. The question about what extends off the Chatzer, right, is the Machlokes between Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbanon believe that the caves that extend off of the Chatzer are 4x6. And if they are 4x6, therefore they can house, right, 8 kuchim. Each one can house 8 kuchim. That means that you have 3 on each side, plus you have the 2 that extend out of the far end. That's because each kuch is an amma wide and has an amma in between it. The exception to that, of course, are the corners have a half amma. And so from that you have a... Right. Each one will have a half amma. They jointly will have an amma, or probably drop less than an amma between them. Shita is Rabbi Shimon is that the caves that extend off the main chatzer, usually in the Mishnah, the Rishitas Rabbanan only has two sides, only two caves to it. Right here, I have it pictured with four caves. We'll see today that it might be important. Shita is Rabbi Shimon, right, has a central chatzer again, the 6x6. And then it has caves that extend off of it, which are 6x8. Right, those 6x8 caves are able to house, right, 13 kuchin, because you have the 8, which are the 4 on each side. Right, now again, those sit as an amma and then an amma between them. You have the 3 at the far end, which would be, right, the equivalent to the Rabbanan, just because you have a bigger cave now. And the two extras, and what we spent yesterday discussing, were the last two. Where do they fit? Right here, I have pictured here the Rashbam, Shito, and Karen Zavit, that they extend out of the corners, they extend out of the four corners. The Gemara gave other solutions. One solution was Kecheruta, right, that they were out on an angle, which Gemara rejected as a Brutei, and the Gemara gave another solution, which is what we left off with, which was Nefili, right, that they were smaller Kuchin. These extra Kuchin were smaller. And because they were smaller, they solved another number of problems. Either they solved the problem of either possibly the overlapping kuchin we see over here, right? Or they solved the problem of the kuchin being at the far end, right? How do they not touch the other kuchin? And that's because they were of nefilate, they were narrower and shorter. And that's how they solved the problem.
Where did you show the smaller ones?
I didn't. We will have that later today. All right, that we will get there. I'm only reminding you because we're going to have to use it again today. So that's the solution. All right. So now the Gemara brings down a Mishnah Tanatam. So that's the two lines on Kuf Aleph Bet. Motzeh Meit Mushkav Kedarko. Person who finds a body that is lying normally. Notlo ve'et fusato. You take it, the body, and fusato. Now, tfusato is a term that we used in the Gemara Nazir. Here, the Rashbam quotes that Nazir and tells us, you know, what that is. Kamashir tfusa is, notela farti choach, you take the soft earth around the mate. And then, it's also v'chofer, right, he digs down until v'chofer shlushat tfachim bakarka betula. And then three tfachim into the solid ground. Notela ko. The chashivi kerekev shel mit, right? That's the problem. The reason you have to take that which is around the mate is because whatever earth or dirt that is found around it, we assume is absorbed, right? The flow or the rot of the mate. And therefore, when you're taking the mate, we don't just take the mate. We take the earth or the dirt that is found around the mate. That's when you find one. Now, the reason you're removing this mace, why don't you just leave it where it is? It's because it's in an unfortunate position. Either it's blocking people from crossing over for Taharos. It's on a road where, you know, could possibly, or near a road where it could possibly cause Tumah problems. So it's in a place that's not necessarily comfortable to leave it in terms of Tumah. So therefore you move the body. Shnayim, if you only found two bodies, then the same thing. Notlan vet fusatan. You can do the same thing. You can take them as well as the dirt that's around them. But matzash lo shah. Now, once you've reached three, the basic problem is that once you've reached three, we assume you've now hit a Beit Kvarot. Right, you're in a Beit Kvarot already, you're in a cemetery. I mean, that it's one thing, if you reach one or two, Bodidim, then people were buried. You know, suddenly there was a rush, there was something that happened that they got buried here. But once you hit three, already now you have some sort of chazaka, that now we're inside of a big kfarot somehow. And now yeah, we have the obligations that are on you are much now much stricter. And that is Masash Losha. Im Yesh Binehem Miarba Ad Shmona. Right, if they have from Arba until Shmona Amot, 4 until 8 Amot between them, Arizesh Chunat Kivarot. That is considered a graveyard. Ubudek Mimenul Alan Isrimama. Right, then you have to check 20 Amot, and this is what we'll spend time on exactly what that means to check 20 amot over here. Metzah achad besof esrim amah. If you find another mate within that checking of the 20 amot, then bodeg mimenu lalan chafama. Then you have to do another, right, 20 amot. She raglayim ledavar. You have circumstantial evidence here, evidence over here, that this single mace, even though, as the Bryce Mishnah says, she'ilu mitchilo matzo, had he found that single mace in the first place, no dove tusato, he would have been able to just take it out and move it. But because he's coming from the other side where he found three, which makes already a beit kvarot, now there's already, you know, circumstantial evidence that there is a beit kvarot here, and therefore this mace, this single body, no longer becomes just like finding a single body, it's finding a body in the context of a cemetery. Now part of the limud, part of this Mishnah, is that this doesn't apply to everything. So the Rashbam lays out over here that to everybody, or to anybody that you find. It has to be found in a certain way, number one, and we'll see here, it has to be certain distances. So in terms of a certain way, what are the certain ways? So the Mishnah uses terms, hamotzei, meit, mushkav, kedarko. Alright, so all of those words, motzei, Mushkab and Kedarko, all are indications of what make it could be classified as a mate, and a mate that will together with other mitim, create a Beit HaKvarot. So number one is a Motze. Motze means that you find it, meaning mitchila, that you found it now, lo yadua, it was not known beforehand. Meaning that if you had before, there was one mate known and two that were not, or the other way around, two, according to Tosfos, the other way around as well. You know, you find two mate team that were known and then one that was not, they do not classify as a Beit Kvarot. Now, Rashi claims, in, no, it's not Rashi, but in Nazir, claims that that is a Allah of the Moshe Messinai, Allah Hilchus Gemir Allah. Tosfos disagrees and says it's logical. That only when either they're all Yiduim, or that they all are not Yiduim, then we assume, right, that it's a Beit HaKvarot. If they're all known, the three, then we know three mitim together, that's a Beit HaKvarot. If they just found it for the first time here, we also will classify them as a Beit HaKvarot. But if you have a mixture of mitim that were known and not known that you find here together, then the underlying assumption is that they are not a Beit HaKvarot, but there were existing mitim, and then people were passing by and it was late, or they had some reason and they threw another body in there. The fact that it wasn't known until this point, that means that it wasn't a Beit Kvarot. And now all of a sudden there's a new body that you found here. That's something new. It's something fresh and not indications that you have a Beit Kvarot over here. So that's the Tosfos tries to establish that there is some sort of logic. He writes, V'had amur b'nazir d'vinen shloshtan yuduin o tchila perishikuchus yuchas gemirla vein nira l'ri toshaykhan yuchas gemirla d'avi davar sheyesh bo tam. It has a reason. Right, because if you have two or if you have one, kevin shayusha madayin shneim hareishin nikvar zeh lo ayutan bezi doin. Either if it's one with two unknown, that means when the first one was buried there, the other two were not known about. V'chen bet you doin if there were two known. Then echad tchila, and then there's a new one all of a sudden here. V'shloshtem, in each of those cases, the others didn't know about the other meitim there. They don't know about the other meitim. They're not going to come together to make a beit kvarot. So only when it's either three totally new or three that are known, then we say it's a Beit Kvarot. So that's the first qualification.
There's a difference between three that are new and three that were known about.
I agree, there's a safek. Now, once you have a safek, then you got to do the work to find out why is it that we just found three new bodies. Now, found mean, doesn't mean that somebody bit them new. It could be that we just found them because nobody knew about them beforehand. We're not saying found because somebody just started today to put them in there. Right. So mushkav means laying down. Mushkav means laying down because that's a Jewish burial. Right? Laying down with the body laid out nicely on the back. If it's not mushkav, right, then we worry about the fact that we're dealing with either it's Yoshev Kedarko, somebody sitting up, right? Or Rosho ben Yerkel Totav, that these are not necessarily Jewish, right? Metim that are buried here. So, and once you enter again to be or to consider and to make this whole effort to say this is a Beit HaKvarot, we need some sort of assumption that there was a Metim that are buried here, a Jewish Metim. So if they're laying down, at least you have a safek that it's a Jew. But if they're buried in such a haphazard manner, then the other side, underlying assumption is either they're not Jewish, or they were thrown there hastily. They're thrown there hastily, then of course it's not necessarily a Beit Kvarot that is here. Right. Right, so that comes to the next item, which is, we said it has to be, mace means someone who died. If the people are there, and they're there because they were killed, so what we're assuming is that they, if they're buried nicely and laying down, then fine. Problem is, mace, we're talking about prat, l'neherag, or nafal. And so we don't want to, if someone just was killed on the spot, I mean, there's evidence of their, you know, heads being cut off, or some sort of trauma that indicates they were killed on that spot, or, again, mace, they fell into that location, we will not classify that as a Beit Kvarot. Right? It's not that it's a Beit Kvarot. The problem is that they were executed over there, or some incident happened that allowed the Metim to be there. So if that is the case, again, we won't classify or we won't assume that we have a Beit Kvarot over here. What we have here is a number of people that were killed in the same spot. And therefore, we won't classify it as a Beit HaKvarot. Now, these are even, these qualifications, like for instance, if it's not Mushkav Kedarko, or if it's not Mate, if it's Ne'arag, that will be even with three. Even if we have three in that instance, the Rashbam points out, that still won't classify as a Beit HaKvarot, because there's outstanding evidence that, to the fact that there isn't, right, that these aren't a Beit HaKvarot. If you have that type of outstanding evidence, then we will not classify it or make it into a Beit HaKvarot. Now, the Gemara wants to know at this point in time, why are you checking 20 amot? Right? Because that, why are we checking 20 amot? And number two is, who are we checking for? What does it mean that the metim are laid out between 4 and 8 amot? So who's the author of a position that you could have metim laid out between 4 and 8 amot? That's number one. And number two, who's the author of a position that would you have to look 20 amot and that would get you to the location or get you what you need over here? So the Gemara says at first, Amamar, mi arba ad shmone amot, mami, who's the author of this? I rabbonon. If we're talking about the rabbonon, ha amre dalet amot al shesh. The rabbonon already established that their caves are 4x6. So you're not going to have metim that are laid out in such a manner. The furthest apart the metim can be is 6 amot. I mean, that they're only going to be spread across an area if they're all laid together in the same direction. The largest span between them is going to be 6 amot. It could be 4, but it can't be 8. There's no way you can have a span of 8 amot inside of what the Rabbanan consider to be a normal kever.
So you want to consider
the... Where they're buried, the kuchin. The kuchin are not spread. That's what you're talking about. What we're assuming is you have a Beit Kvarot. Beit Kvarot, they're laid out in the manner that the kuchim of a Beit Kvarot would be laid out. So the maximum space that you can have where they're laid out in the same direction is, right, 6 amot.
It's not really true. If you go, let's say, the mate that is closest to the chatzer from one mara diagonally across to the mate that's...
Yeah, you won't get 3 and 8. You'll get 2, but you can't get 3. So that's the problem. According to the Chachamim, the way you're describing it tonight, it is a good idea, but you'll only get to 2. You can't get to 8. You can't get to 8. And even 2 is a little precarious because it's already 7 without the Metim, and the Metim are 1 each.
I assume you don't need the whole
Metim compass. All right. So, you would need it, but all right, even if I give you that you don't, it's still only 2 and not 3. So it's not going to... The Chachamim can't be the author of the position. E Rabbi Shimon. So if you say Rabbi Shimon, Hamar Sheish Al Shmona. Right? Rabbi Shimon says that the caves or the layout of these caves are 6x8. Are the normal layout. So if you're talking about 3, you're going to find them over a span of 6, and you're going to find the other 3 over a span of 8. So how could you have somebody who's in a span between 4 and 8? So Gemara says, the Olam Rabbi Shimon hi. It is Rabbi Shimon, but we're going to find out about a new Rabbi Shimon now. All right, so this is introduces a third shita over here, which is, it's Olam Rabbi Shimon hi, v'ai Tanahu. It's this Tana. The Tanya, we have a Braisa. Matz'anrus mitzufim v'im b'neihem mitalad amot ad chet. If you have a large number of bodies that are buried in a, you know, parallel to each other, and they're not laid out in a manner of 4 to 8 amot, so then yesh lan tfusa ve'en lan shchunat kvarot. So the Tana Kama says, what we'd expect to find over here, that doesn't qualify as a Beit Parot, because these people are buried, even though they're buried in some sort of seder, they're buried in such tight, right, quarters, it's an indication of some temporariness here, or that it's not a Beit Parot. Nobody would bury in such, right, proximity to each other. So therefore, the Meitim get the Tfusa, that's there because we assume that they're Jewish, because they're laid out nicely and they're put, but they do not get a status of a Shchunat Kvarot. They don't get a status of a Beit Kvarot, of a cemetery graveyard. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, right, Bishum Rabbi Shimon, so this is Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, says the name of Rabbi Shimon, so this would be the other opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which is Ro'im et Emtzayim Ki'ilu Einan. We look at the ones that are in the middle as if they're not there. So what we do is we take out the extra ones. We've had a similar idea, which the Gemara is going to bring again. We had this by the Kerem, and we had where or by a field, the Steilan, if they're packed too tightly, right there we had a Shita, and we're going to see it's the opposite Shita, between Rav Shimon and Chachamim, of whether you take out the extra, for instance, trees, if they're too densely packed. So we just say that's not a stay line now. Or to say we take out the trees, we go look at it as if you're going to uproot the trees in between, and it is a stay line. Same thing with a kerem. Is a kerem that's planted too tightly, is it not a kerem now? Or is it a vineyard and we assume you're going to pull out the denser ones that are causing the problem for it not to be a kerem, and there will eventually be a kerem. So now, what is the sheet over here? So you wanted this sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that the Meitim now lie between 4 and 8. All right, that's what I have pictured for you. They're going to lay before you. Well, first of all, let's get to what this cave looks like. So here's the Rashbam's assumption I have for you on the first page in the top right. This is what the Rashbam believes the caves of this Rabbi Shimon look like. It's the caves that are six, again, a chaser that's 6x6, but instead of, this is between the Tachamim's position and his position, which is that it's 4x8. The caves that extend off of the main chaser are now 4x8 caves, as opposed to Rabbanan, which are 4x6, and opposed to Rabbi Shimon before, which were 6x8. Now we have caves that are 4x8. Now the Rashbam, this is Shitas Rashbam, says that, well, now how, if you have a cave that's 4x8, how are you going to get three at the end? How are you ever going to get three to fit at the end? So the only way we get three fit at the end is to assume that there's only a tefachayim, to only assume that there are two tefach between each kuch. There's two tefach between each kuch, and at the corners we do half, so that's one tefach. Alright, so if you look at this layout at the top, look at the top of the page, you have three, each kuch is an amma wide, they can't be less, because the meitim don't change sizes. You can change the cave sizes, you can't change the meitim sizes. So each kuch is an amma wide. You have a span there of 4 amot. Now you've used up 3 amot already for the kuchin themselves. You're left with 1 amma. Each amma is what? 6 tfachim. 2 and 2, the space between them will each be 2 tefachim at the top there. That'll be 4 tefachim. And then 1 tefach and 1 tefach on each side, that'll give you 6 tefachim. So now you have 6 tefachim, which will be the amma. So you have 4 amot at the top side. The Rashbam then extends that and says, well, if that's how I have to place them at the top, let me tell you what type of job I can do on the side now. Right, on the sides. Now, as opposed to before, Rabbi Shimon could only get in, squeeze in 4 of them on the side or 5 on the side, depending if you use the angle or not. Here, I can fit in now a nice bunch, 6. I can fit in six, at this rate, I can get you 6 kuchim on each side. Why? If the 8 tefachim is the extent of each side of the cave, 8 amot, I'm sorry, is the extent of each side of the cave, if I put out 6 kuchim, that's 6 amot. Right, 6 amot leaves me with 2 amot for the spacing between them. Between the 6, I put 5 2 tefachim spaces, is 10 tefachim. And 1 on each end is 12 tefachim. 12 tefachim is 2 amot. So based on that, the Rashbam says, as I can lay you out now, a cave, according to this Rabbi Shimon, where I have, right, 8, I have 6, 6 is 12, and then the 3 on the other is 15.
The walls don't cave in from the digging.
I'm sorry?
I guess the wall.
Right, so that you have to say, there's a suggestion, right, the possibility that the cella, this may be according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that are called the cella, right, that maybe this is by stronger rock, and that might be the difference between the two shitot of Rabbi Shimon. Right, this is the shita of Peter Rashbam. At the end, I have on the last page, we won't do it now, but the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Rashbam. We'll work with the shita of Rashbam right now, and then at the end I'll show you the shita, just so you're aware that the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says that you can't have kuchim, you can't have caves that are so close together. They must be spaced out with 4 amot, but of 1 amah between them, you need more space. Maybe based on what you're asking, is it's just too thin. The walls are just too thin to support between them.
Between having an amah between them and having
two tefachim, it's very significant, right? So it's a third of the space, and it's very, very narrow. So the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says, but then the Rabbeinu Tam is going to run into a problem, which is, how do you get three meitim next to each other, which we need here? Now, if you get your layout of three meitim, right, that are four amot apart, now I have that for you. That's at the tops, at the ends of the caves. I have three meitim that are distributed over four amot. That's not a problem. You want to find three meitim distributed over eight amot? I can also find you that. That's on the sides of the caves. So because I have 4x8 caves, I could easily find three meitim lying either four amot until eight amot, which is what we're looking for. We're looking for a distribution of meitim that would be normal, to be between four amot and eight amot, and be an indication of Beit Parot. Now, according to this sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that's what you have. You're going to have a distribution of three meitim, either within four amot, that's indicative of a cave, or over eight amot, which is also indicative of a cave.
So why do we say that Kibroim would have Kiddush
Sheinah? Okay, we'll see that. Okay, that's a second. We'll see. That's if they're tighter than a distribution of 4 to 8. They're more than three within four amot. That's what Kiddush Sheinah. If you have more than eight, meaning that they're extending many more.
Three and four,
that's okay. All right, then you don't have to pull out in between. This is the pulling out in between is when they're denser than it should be in that space, or they're extending less than that space. That's why you would need to pull out in between them, or it's denser than you would expect it.
On the sides of your head, so I assume you're measuring from the side of the mace that's closest to the other, not from the other end of the mace. Right?
Could even be from the other eight, because
having had three within eight on the side,
they haven't filled all the kuchimin. Who says all six people are buried there right now? What we're afraid of is that this is a big parot that's been started to be used, but they didn't use up all the kuchim yet. So you got three that are distributed over eight amot, and only three. It could be six also, but I'm saying that even three will be indicative of a big parot because they just started to use that wall, they just haven't finished using that wall. Now,
I didn't understand how you read the crisis. What does it mean, ein b'nehen?
They're not distributed in such a manner of 4 to 8 amot. Either there's the 3 and 3 amot, or there's 3 over 12 amot.
They're jammed closer together or spread
further apart.
Okay.
So therefore, that's the problem with that is that can't be a Beit Parot over here. That wouldn't fit. That wouldn't match the distribution of a normal mi'ara.
So then when Rabbi Yehuda says,
so if you have five within four amot, what happens if you have five and four amot? Okay. If you have five and four amot, that would not be a normal Beit HaKvarot. But if you take out two of those in the middle, then maybe it is three over.
That's why you actually have to take out the two.
No, he says ro'im ki'ilu. We look at it as if, and therefore it would be like a normal distribution. Plus, others were thrown in there later. Basically, what he's indicating is that there was a normal burial, and later on, the additional meitim were thrown in. And there was a Beit HaKvarot. Well, we can assume that the cave collapsed. We can assume that something happened that allowed for the meitim to be placed there as well.
That was my other conceptual monkey wrench. What's going on here? This was like 6 feet under, and all of a sudden it's exposed to the air.
Right. So remember that they're burying. This is not everything is bedrock, and not everything is limestone. Limestone collapsed. I mean, that there are ways to have this where over a long duration, the area changed, or that, topography of this area is going to change to the extent that you could have multiple meitim, you have the cross of caves collapse. So that's what I would suggest. That's all. All right, now, how do you get to your 20? Now the checking, right? What happens? So turn to page 2. If you turn to page 2 here, how do you check? So that's the question at hand. If you find three, so this is what I've done for you here. If you find three within four amot, if you find three with four amot, we actually don't know. Truthfully, we only don't know three. It could be possibly three different possibilities here. Three different possibilities if they're found within four amot. If you look at the top left picture is you have three meitim, and they're the end of the cave here. They're the end of what would be a large distribution, right, a large Beit HaKvarot. So therefore, you're going to have to check from them all the way to the other side because we're afraid they're the far end. So you need to check the other side, which would be the other far end. So that's why I have an arrow pointing downward here, which is that you have to check downward 20 amot, because the possibility is that they're at the top of the cave. I mean, top meaning like the northernmost. And then you'd have to check all the way down to the south, the 20 amot, because maybe they're the far end of this, large distribution of catacombs, this large burial area. There you have to check down. The other possibility is the bottom left.
You showed us the left. The
top left, yes.
Okay. So six and eight and eight.
No. Oh, very good. Okay, excellent. All right. I'm trying to get away with it. And you're right. That's the Gemara's next question. It's the Gemara's next question. I'm trying to show you what the Gemara is doing with that. The next question is, what about why you need 20? You need 22 amot. Very good. That is the Gemara's next question. Right, next. So now, if you look at the picture at the bottom left here, the bottom left would be the possibility. What I'm showing you are mitim that are exactly the same, meaning that you could just put this on top of the other picture and show the mitim buried the exact same way, right, in the same direction, with their heads in the same direction, feet in the same direction. And the possibility is that they're the rightmost, right, of the length of the cave. They're the rightmost mitim of the length of the cave. So now I'd have to check the cave to the western side, 20 amot, because of the possibility that they're the end of the long end of the caves. The bottom right is the other way around, meaning that the same three mitim, without moving them, could also be the leftmost, right, of the length of the cave, and then you'd have to check to the right as well, meaning to the eastern side, 20 amot. The Rashbam says you also have to check north, to the north, 20 amot. Now, by definition, that should not happen. Why? Because you're right. The minhag was that they buried them with the heads in and the feet towards the cave. So you should always know which direction you're going in, meaning that from the sides you don't know. But at least from the head to the foot, you know that the caves are going to be from the feet inward. So why would you have to go both directions? So the one possibility is you just don't know. I mean, you found parts of the mate, but you don't have indications, right, of how they're lying. Tosus comes up with a solution over here. Tosus says, "Umayri shenimsa roshul letzad mara umargalotav afuchim letzad acheret." So what happens is you find a cave on one side, but their feet are facing the other way. Their heads are facing towards the cave. So they find an empty cave or a cave space near them, and you have their feet facing away from the cave. Their heads are towards the cave. So now I'm mistapik. Is the cave the indication that what? That the burial ground is in that direction, and therefore I'm looking for that direction? Or is the fact that their feet face the other way indicative of the fact that the kever should run the other way, that the cave should run the other way? So because of that, you actually have to check both ways. So now in all four directions, if they're within four amot, you now must check in all four directions 20 amot, because the safek exists in all directions. The possibility that this beit hakvarot, that this kever, would exist or be spread out in all four directions is a possibility. That is not true. Now, when you go above four amot until eight amot, so that's the next page. On page three, I'll show you the layout. On page three, the layout is between four amot and eight amot. By definition, if they are spread out over more than four amot, they cannot be at the far ends. They cannot be on the rochav of the caves. They cannot be on the width of the caves. Because the width of the caves are limited to four amot. So as soon as the bodies are spread over a large area than four amot, by definition, they're not on that end of the cave.
Everybody thinks that the width of the cave is four.
Right, nobody, right. Somebody thinks it's more than four. So they can't, now they can only be on the length of the cave. So when you're talking about the length of the cave, then your checking is going to be different over here. If they're distributed along the length of the cave, then you have four possibilities about where these mitim are. That is, the mitim are in the top left picture. They're the leftmost, the northwestern most part of the cave. So from the mitim, you'll have to check four amot opposite them, because we know they're on the orech of the cave. We know they're on the length of the cave. So you'll have to check from the mitim the way they are laid out, four amot opposite them, because possibly the other side of the cave. You'll have to check below them, beneath them, meaning southwards, you're going to have to check 20 amot, because the possibility that they're the, as we're showing over here, that they're the uppermost, right, distribution, the north to west. On the right, I'm showing you a picture when they are within Dalet Amot, right? I mean, they're just over Dalet Amot here. If you look at this distribution, according to the Rashbam, right, these are Meitim, take up three Amot. You have an empty Kuch, which is the fourth Amah, and then between them, you have six Tvachim. So you're talking about five Amot over here, that the distributed amount is five Amot. So you have to check the four Amot across the way, and down, meaning below them, you'll have to check. Southwards, you'll have to check 20. Now, on the other side, I'll show you the other possibility.
Why do you have to check only 4 and not 20?
Because they have to be on the orech of the cave. Because if they were on the rochav of the cave,
it's 4 amot.
Right?
Because they're wider than 4.
Right, so they can't be at the end. So there's no possibility that they're into the cave. So now, on the other side, the other possibility is that these same mitim are laid out. I probably should have colored it a little differently, I see now. But they're laid out in the same distribution, but there they are, the southeasternmost of the cave, on the southeasternmost side of the cave, if they're distributed over there, then, again, The possibility is 4 amot to the other side. So again, the Meitim, you're going to have to look 4 amot to the east and west. And then you're going to have to look northwards 20 amot. So accordingly here, you'll have to look north and south, above, that's what he calls it, the Rashbam calls it, Milmata Lamadna. Above and below them, you'll have to check 20 amot, and to their sides, 4 amot each, because we know for certain they're within the orech of the cave.
The assumption is that we don't know which way they're facing.
Again, you're going to have to...
Right,
with the feet facing one way, the Maharaj the other way, you have to come up with that same solution again. Here, you have, again, at the bottom, I show you a distribution of 8 amot, right, and in a distribution of 8 amot, excuse me, in a distribution of 8 amot, then you can see over here, of the distribution of 8 amot, you have the same thing, which is you will check opposite the Meitim, the way they're laying 4 amot to each side. Again, because the possibility that they're the northwestern part of the cave, or that they are the southeastern part of the cave, so you have to check. And then again, above them and below them, meaning north and south, you'll have to check 20 amot to ensure that they are not the end of a Beit Parot. So that would be this is the Gemara solution. The Gemara solution is, okay, the author of our Braisa, the author of the Mishnah, but Rabbi Shimon and the Braisa is of this idea that the caves are distributed as 6x6 in the middle, 4x8 on the sides. Because of that layout, it's normal to find Meitim buried, 3 Meitim buried either between 4 or up until 8 amot. But the difference will be when you find them within 4 amot, you'll have to check 20 amot in all directions. If you find them between 4 and 8, then we know they're on the orech. We know they're on the length of the cave. If they're on the length of the cave, you only have to check 4 amot in each direction, meaning east and west, and north and south, you have to check 20 amot. So that'll be the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, the Gemara asks you a question, David, which is, okay, very nice, but, the Mishnah says that you have to check 20 amot. And over here, the Gemara asks, Babayu Kimta, who did you establish? You established our Mishnah, meaning that this Mishnah you're trying to establish as Rabbi Shimon, Ema Seifa. What are you going to do at the end of the Mishnah? Bodek Hemenu Ulahalan Esrimama. Who you check 20 Amot? Mani, who's the author of this? Right now, E Rabbi Shimon, if you go back to the first page of the pictures here, E Rabbi Shimon, if Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah, does not matter which Rabbi Shimon. Doesn't matter the Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah or Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa. From one end of the cave to the other end of the cave is 22 amot. Why? Because the chatzer is 6x6, or 6. Then you have the caves are 8 long. The caves are 8 long, that's 8 by 8, 8 each on each side is 16, plus 6 is 22. So the distance between the far end and the other end is going to be 22 amot. So why is 20 sufficient? 20 is never going to be sufficient. You won't reach the other side of the Beit HaKvarot. You can see that on the first page. I laid it out for you, in both Shittos of Rabbi Shimon. Now, okay, so what's the other possibility? So if that's Rabbi Shimon, it's Srimitartin Havyan, it's 22. Irabonon, if it's Rabbonon, Tamye Sari Havyan, it's only 18 away. Because what's the layout of the caves according to Rabbanon? They're 4x6. The length of the caves is 6. If that's the case, you have a chatzer that's 6 long. You have 2 caves that are 6 long. That's 3 times 6 is 18. So the Rabbanon, they only need 18. Why do you need 20 over here?
This will face up 1 amot.
Right.
And this
one
will also
have
1 amot.
Right. But you have to do at least, right? You have to do at least 20. You might be done before you hit 20. That is correct.
Right.
But 20 is the amount that you must do in order to ensure.
Even in this, you don't have to say 22. Because the mace is going to be, the mace is going to be.
Right, but in this case, if you didn't skip, it's over here, you must have 22. Here you will have to have 22 amot. Because here, when you need to reach if you're on the roch of the cave, you must have 22 amot to check the other side. I agree with you, when it's on the length of the cave, you do not need it. But when you're on the roch of the cave, you do need the full 22 amot. So now, the Gemara is going to come up with a solution that is very, very difficult. The Rashbam says unbelievable words. I put it together here for you to see what the Rashbam says. And the Tosfos takes issue with the Rashbam. You see here, the Tosfos takes issue with the geometry of the Rashbam. But we'll do it together so that we understand the Gemara, and then we'll leave it as a teiku. All right? Because I didn't see any good solutions to the problem, and we'll deal with it. The Rabbeinu Gershom explains it in a very similar manner. And it's based on a flawed assumption, and that flawed assumption allows them to make this claim. All right? So now the Gemara says, all right, Ma'olam Rabbanon hi. It's really the Rabbanon. Ukigon de Bodak Balachsona. But he's checking on an angle. He's checking on an angle. Now, number one, Lolam Rabbanon hi means that the ratio of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, because it's clear that Rabbi Shimon has to be the author of the Mishnah in the beginning because of the caves that we have 4x8. The distribution is only a distribution that would make sense according to Rabbi Shimon from the Braisa. So Rabbi Shimon has to be the author of the ratio. Now, the Seifa who says you check 20 amot is going to be the Rabbanon. Now, it's going to be the Rabbanon. What does it mean that it's going to be the Rabbanon? Because the Rabbanon, you're going to check on an angle. Okay, what does it mean you're going to check on an angle? So here comes the Rabbeinu, this is the Rashbam. The Rashbam says now, if you have a triangle that is laid out, Alachson, upper right corner, in the upper right corner on page 4, he says, if you have a nice triangle, isosceles triangle, it's not even an isosceles triangle here, actually. It's a, right, you have a triangle, right angle, a right triangle, that is 4 amot at its base and 6 amot high. The hypotenuse of such a triangle will be 8 amot. That is the assumption of the Rashbam. That is going to cause a major headache. I will show you how he tries to prove this. All right, but let's go with his assumption that he's right. So now, the hypotenuse of such a triangle that's 4 by 6, right, is 8. 8 amot. So now, if you look in the bottom left picture, this is the solution according to the Rashbam. Over here, what do? You check the cave. You found the Meitim. So in that cave, the cave is 4 by 6, right? The caves here of the Chachamim are 4 by 6. On the first cave, when you find the Meitim, you now check on an angle. That angle will be 8 amot. From the, after you've made the angle across and done the check, then you check straight. From there on, you check straight, straight down. So if you look at the distribution now, that'll be 8 amot, plus an additional 12 amot, because the chatzer is 6 wide, and each cave is 6, right? The Chachamim's caves are 6 long by 4 wide. So based on that, the Rashbam says, well, now I have 8 plus 12 is 20 amot. Those are the 20 amot you're looking for. So if you check the first cave on an angle, and the chatzer, and then the additional cave you check on a straight line, I'll get you to your 20 amot. So now the Gemara asks a basic question, which is, wait a minute, if you're going to check the one cave on an angle, then check the other cave on an angle. If that's the case, you're back to your original problem, you're back to 22. Because if you look in the middle picture on the bottom of page 4, if you check the first cave on 8 amot on the angle, then you check the chatzer is 6 amot, and then you check the other cave on the angle, which will be 8 amot the other way, you have 8 plus 8 is 16, plus the 6 is 22, you're back to the original problem. So that's not going to solve your problem. So Gemara says, no. No, why? That's the problem. Having chada b'lachson l'aminan, tre b'lachson l'aminan. We check one at an angle. We're not going to make the guy go back and then back the other way. What we're trying to do is have to capture both width and length. So going on the angle the first time is enough to see that there aren't kvarim on the other side. And then you want to go the length to make sure there aren't kvarim at the all the way to the opposite end. So that'll be sufficient. You only need one angle. You don't need the angle twice. None of that is problematic. There's only one problematic item here. And that is the hypotenuse of a triangle that is 4 by 6 is not 8 amot. Now I will show you what how the Rashbam proves that it is so. Now the problem that the Rishonim are dealing with, and the problem that Rabbeinu Gershom is dealing with, the problem that where the Rashbam is dealing with, even a little bit Tosfos is dealing with, is that a basic problem, is that the Gemara only tells you how to calculate the hypotenuse when you have an isosceles triangle. Which is when you have a 4x4 triangle, a 5x5 triangle. They say, call umta biruba. Any umta that's in a square gives you an umta v'shnei chumshin, gives you 1.4 on the hypotenuse. So the only calculation they know how to do Pythagorean's theory is, right, Pythagorean's theory they can only do when they're equal, two equal, right, on the right angle, they're equal. So then they give to you this. Now I have a problem, I have a distribution that's 4x6. How do I calculate the hypotenuse? So the Rashbam comes up with a way to do it. No problem. I'll tell you. Listen. A triangle that's 6x6, a triangle that's 6x6, right? How, what is the hypotenuse of a triangle that's 6x6? That I can calculate. I multiply 6 by 1.4, right? And then I get my hypotenuse, which is 8.4. Right? 8.4 will be the hypotenuse of a triangle that's 6x6, which is correct. That uses the Gemara's, uses Pythagorean's theory. It basically works out pretty well. So now, the Rashbam takes a quantum leap here and says, listen, wait, hey, al hey. I wrote you the Lashon HaRashbam here on top of the chart, right? On the top of the chart here it says, hey, al hey, havi alachsonan amatayim. Right, when it comes to 5x5, their angle is 2 amot. V'hu adin l'dalet amot oshef. That'll be the same for 4x6. I'll explain this in a second. It took me a long time to understand this. Their angle is 2 amot. It's so, the logic is so hard, like convoluted, that it took me a while, but now I'll explain it to you. The Mishna, and this is the underlying assumption of the Rashbam here, and here's the flaw in the logic. Mishna, hey al hey, me'arba amot al shesh. What's the difference between 5x5 and 4x6? Why? If I take a triangle that's 6x6, then 5x5 is also a 2 amot difference, meaning that I've subtracted 1 amot from both sides. Or if I take a triangle that's 4x6, I've also just taken 2 amot off from a 6x6. So that's what he says. His basic line here is that when it comes to a triangle that's 5x5, And a triangle that's 4 by 6, their alachsonam, their angle is going to be equal to 2 amot. What does that mean, their angle? So let's look in this chart over here, which I basically laid it out. I laid it out for you over here, which is that if you take a triangle that is 5 by 5, triangle that's 5 by 5, we know how to calculate that based on the Gemara, which is that the hypotenuse is 1 plus 2/5. 1 plus 2/5. Now 1 is the actual side. So if I take what makes the angle, what gives you the additional amount that constitutes the angle is the 2/5. So that's called the alachsonan, according to the Rashbam. The ribua is what you would have gotten from making it a square anyway. So now, if I take the 5, if I take the 5 over here and I want to get to the hypotenuse, I multiply it by 1, which gives you 5, and then I multiply it by 2/5, which gives you the additional amount contributed by the angle. By the fact that it's on an angle, the additional amount contributed is 2/5. That gives you 10/5, or 2. So the hypotenuse of a 5 by 5 triangle is actually 7. But the 7 is made up of 5 plus the angle of 2. If I take a 6 by 6 triangle, 6 by 6 triangle, the 6 is the what would be contributed by the fact that you have 6 on the other sides. The angle, the additional amount that's contributed by the angle is 6 times 2/5, which is 12/5, or 2.4. Therefore, the total, the angle adds 2.4, which is 12/5, 6 times 2/5. 6 times 2/5 is 12/5, or 2.4. So together, the 6 plus the 2, 4, give you the hypotenuse, which is 8.4. So the Rashbam says, well, I'm going to tell you this. There's no difference between 4 by 6 and 5 by 5. I agree with you that they can't be exactly the same. Why can't they exactly be the same? Because it's a different distribution. You have a right, they're different. So what I'm going to do is tell you, listen, the square area is different, but the angle is the same. So that's what he does over here. The Rashbam makes the quantum leap. He says, listen, all right, so the square area is 6, because we're going to multiply the 6 by the 1. How do I tell what the diagonal is? What's the diagonal that I have to add on to get the hypotenuse over here? So he makes a leap over here, and that's what he says here. The angle of 5 by 5 is same as the angle of a 4 by 6. What's the angle, or the additional added by the angle on the 5 by 5 is 2. That's what he said, Amatayim, 2. So what's the addition that's going to be added by the angle of the 4 by 6? 2. So if I take 6 plus 2, I get 8. And that's how the Rashbam comes up with the solution over here, that a triangle that is 4 by 8 has a hypotenuse of 8. Now the answer is completely wrong, and that's what Tosso shows over here. That is impossible. Why? Because he's not taking into consideration the sharpness of the angle. There, the assumption is, right, when you have a 5 by 5, you have a 45 degree angle for the hypotenuse. And a 4 by 6, you do not have, right, a 45 degree angle. And therefore, the distribution of the hypotenuse is going to be different. And that's what Tosos questions on the bottom right here. Tosos says, I can prove to you otherwise. Why can I prove to you otherwise? If I take a triangle that's 4 by 4, if I take a triangle that's 4 by 4, what is the hypotenuse of a triangle that is 4 by 4? Hypotenuse of a triangle that's 4 by 4 is 4 times 1 and 2/5. That's 4 plus 8/5, which makes it 5 plus 3/5, or 5.6. So I can show you that. That's 5.6. Now, if I add an additional 2 amot to this triangle, right? I add another 2 amot to this triangle at the base. You can see that I add another 2 amot to the base. Even if I add those entire 2 amot to the hypotenuse of the 4 by 4 triangle, I'll get 7.6. 7.6, number one, is less than 8. And we know that that's not true. We know that adding the full 2 amot is wrong, because you can't just take a straight line down and add the 2 amot. It's on an angle. And if you do it on an angle, Tosfos says it's going to be less. Tosfos doesn't say what it's going to be. I did the calculation for you over here. Tosfos says it's got to be less than 7.6. Here you have the Rashbam coming up with a 4 by 6 triangle that's giving him a hypotenuse that is 8. He says, if I take a 4 by 4 triangle, I get a 5.6 hypotenuse. If I add 2 amot, which is the straight line, to add the extra 2 amot, I get 7.6. That's the maximum a 4 by 6 triangle could be, and that's what we know for sure is too much. What's the real distribution? The hypotenuse of a triangle that's 4 by 6 is 7.21. It's around that, it's about 7.21. So he says the Rashbam's clearly wrong. He says, I can prove to you just on this. Number two, I can tell you that the area of a space of 5 by 5 is 25, and an area of a space that's 4 by 6 is 24. So there's no way that the triangles can come up with the same hypotenuse. They're different. By definition, they're different areas. They are a different distribution. They're not the same. So Tosfos rejects it, but Tosfos doesn't give an alternative of how to explain the Gemara. That's the problem over here. I mean, that, great, Tosfos solved the problem that the Rashbam's wrong. He indicates that the Rashbam's wrong, but he doesn't necessarily solve the problem. Right, so we have to leave it a little bit and take because the Gemara continues. We're going to continue with the Gemara based on this the assumption of the Rashbam, just showing you that the Rashbam with this logic is flawed over here. The logic is heavily flawed. And that's what Tosfos points out. Tosfos himself, it's not me, he says, V'lo yitachein. Tosfos says it's impossible. What the Rashbam is saying is absolutely impossible. Right now, the Gemara continues. Rav Sheshe Breit Rav Idi Amar. Now, Rav Sheshe Breit Rav Idi suggests, no, La'olam Rabbi Shimon he. No, the author of our mission over here is actually Rabbi Shimon. And that is found on page 5 here. On page 5, I laid out for you, it's the author of the mission is Rabbi Shimon. How do we solve the problem? What are we talking about over here? Benifili. We're talking about, Nifilim, we're talking about shorter caves, or shorter graves for fetuses. Now, Nifili, the caves of Nifili are actually 4 by 6. You do not need, you can have the same distribution of caves in a smaller cave for Nifili. So therefore, what do I have this? Now, if you look at the chart I brought for you over here, on the right side of page 5, in front of you, if you now look, if I found a graves of Nefile, I found graves of Nefile now, and I found them distributed, three of them distributed along the Rochav, found three distributed along the width at the end, then to get to the other side, I only need 20 amot. Why? Because a cave of fetuses, or caves of Nefile, is 4 by 6. That means I'd have to go 6 amot lengthwise, plus the chatzer, which is 6 amot, gets me to 12. Plus now on the other side, I have a normal cave. A normal cave is 4 by 8. So that 8 and to the 12 is 20 amot. So now I have a 20 amot where I can explain myself why I need to only check. It's Rabbi Shimon, so therefore the whole mishnah will be Rabbi Shimon. I only have to check 20 amot to get to the other side. Now the Gemara asks the same question. Wait a minute, if we're in the fetus land over here, why don't we say that the other cave on the opposite side is also a fetus cave? If it's also a fetus cave, then I'll have basically what turns out to be the Chachamim's layout. I now have the Chachamim's layout, which is I'll have caves that are 4 by 6, a chaser that's 6 by 6, and another cave that's 4 by 6. That means, Tam Nesari Havin, it's only 18 amot now. So why am I checking 20 amot if we're talking about fetus caves? They're much shorter, the whole cave distribution should be smaller. So Gemara says, again, the answer, Bechad Benifile Amrina, Tarte Benifile Lo Amrina. Have one of the caves out of the whole cave network be for Nefile, that's okay. But to say that there were two caves that were Nefile fetuses, that doesn't seem logical, doesn't seem acceptable. And therefore, you'll have the distribution, I brought that for you over here, Chad Benifile Amrina, only one cave will be the distribution of 4 by 6, the cave on the other side will be distribution of 4 by 8, and now I've solved my problem of having 20 amot. So now I have my 20 amot that we were looking for over here, and we're happy. Now the Gemara goes off onto a tangent, basically on the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. He disagreed whether we take away the bodies in between. When we have bodies that are denser than they should be in the 4 to 8 amot, do we look at them and say, this is not a Beit Kvarot? Or do we say, no, we take out the bodies and look as if it's a normal distribution? So where it says, Rani Rabbanan and Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon. We have a problem with the Rabbanan Shittatam, and we have a problem with Rabbi Shimon Shittatam. Why? Because this is what we quoted earlier. Now we quoted this in the Gemara earlier on, it's not. Kerem anatua pachod mi arba amot. If you have a kerem that is the distribution of the rows is less than 4 amot apart, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ain't no kerem. Rabbi Shimon says it's not a kerem. Chomim Omerim, Ari's a kerem. This is a kerem. V'ro'im et emsaim kilo enam. We take out the in between rows that make it too dense, we look as if they're not there. So the exact opposite of their opinions here. Kasha the Rabbanan Rabbanan. The problem is here the Rabbanan say we take away what's in the middle to look at the density. Whereas by the Meitim, they say we don't take away. We just look at it here and say this is not a Beit Kvarot. Kasha Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon's a problem. Over here by the Kerem, Rabbi Shimon says we don't take away the rows that are in between. We don't look at it as if they don't exist. Whereas by the Meitim, we do take them away. So why is there a difference of opinion? So Gemara says, the Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, al Kasha. Rabbi Shimon is not a stira because people don't plant vineyards with the intention of ripping out plants later. Maybe that they plant vineyards in a normal distribution. So over here, by our case of the Meitim, right? That there's a possibility that there was a normal distribution over here. But all of a sudden it was Ben HaShvashot, the people were in a rush, they had to put the meat down, they just left it there. And they said, we'll come back later and we'll move it. They forgot to come back, something happened that they couldn't come back. And therefore the meat was left there. So originally there was a normal distribution of meat team over here. Somebody afterwards came and did something that made it an uneven distribution or too tzafuf or too tightly distributed. And therefore the problem was created by a party afterwards, not by the original distribution of the meat team. Now, Gemara says, the Rabbanan also not a kasha. Hacha came in the minuva lo mikrei kever. Nobody bears meitim in such a minuva, such a disgusting manner, with such a dense distribution. Nobody's going to bury them like that. That's an unacceptable burial. Even if they're going to throw them there, they're at least going to look for something a little more kabbadic. So if they're buried in that type of distribution, that density, we know for sure it's not a beit kverot. Hata, by the case of the kerem, mei marmar, hai minayu de shapir shapir, says, I'm going to test it out. We'll plant a whole bunch, then we'll see which ones come out better. The ones that come out better, we'll keep. The ones that come out weaker, we'll take out. So each plant multiple rows with the intention of taking out the weaker ones over here. So the ones that are hai minayu de shapir shapir, we'll use for grapes. It's a little shapir, and whenever it doesn't turn out, we'll make it into wood. We'll make it into firewood. We'll use it for something else. Meaning that we're planting, there's usage for the vineyard, and therefore we'll use that part for wood. So that's the solution to solve the problem. I'm going to stop over here because the next Mishnah, starting the Mishnah, is and then just going into the Gemara. But just wanted to show you before we finish, is the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Rabbeinu Tam, this is the back page of the distribution here. The Rabbeinu Tam says that Rashbam misunderstood Rabbi Shimon. Because you can't have caves distributed in less than an Amah. The caves have to be distributed at an Amah apart. So now, the Rashbam runs into the Rabbeinu Tam runs into the problem what the Rashbam was trying to deal with, which is that then, how do you get three Meitim distributed on four? How do you get three Meitim distributed over four Amot, right? Because otherwise, why are you checking 20 Amot or 22 Amot across if you can't get three? If you have four Amot and they're a mile apart, you can only fit two Meitim there. So the answer of the Rabbeinu Tam is that the Meitim are not distributed, they're not all facing the same way. You have two Meitim facing, you know, one direction, and then perpendicular to them is a third mace. And that's the rest of the Rabbeinu Tam solution over here that comes up.
Now,
right, it will solve, it does help a lot.
It solves the 20 question.
Right, it might solve the angle problem. It's not so clear, it's still less than the amount that you need. You won't get the hypotenuse will not be 20 amot, but you will get, right, you're saying on a vertical line, right?
The diagonal.
It's 1.5, it'll actually be 20.
Referring to this.
Right.
Oh, since the meitim arranged at an angle, so therefore from here to here...
It's 20 and a half a mot. It's closer, right? It's a lot closer based on that. It'll be a lot closer. So again, the Rabbeinu Tam might solve that problem as well of using the word alachsona in a different way. That alachsona does not mean angle and come up with this problem of the hypotenuse, right? Like you're suggesting, alachsona would be the distribution of the meitim. And based on the distribution of the meitim, then he gets his 20 amot. Right, it's a straight line, then it's 20 amot. That is a possibility. The Rabbeinu Tam does not explicitly explain that, but you could take the Rabbeinu Tam further and explain him that way, and that would solve some of the problems here. Obviously, the difficulty of the Rabbeinu Tam is that that's not the way the term alachsona is used. The term alachsona is used as an angle, something on an angle, not something where they're perpendicular to each other, and that's called alachsona. So the Rabbeinu Tam, the difficulty with him is how the lashon, and 3 to 8, when they're 4 to 8, when the Gemara says they're distributed over 4 to 8 amot, it sounds from the Gemara that they're all parallel to each other, the meitim, and Rabbeinu Tam is also being mechadish here that they're not parallel to each other. So again, the weakness of Rabbeinu Tam's pshat is obviously the way the meitim are distributed does not really conform to either alachsona, doesn't conform to, you know, four, distributed over 4 to 8 amot, which sounds like the meitim are parallel. Whereas the Rashbam solves that problem, but the Rashbam runs into bigger problems. You have Meitim that are very tight together, two tefachim apart, as well as the problem that the Rashbam has a triangle now that has a 4x6 triangle that has a hypotenuse of 8 amot, which is also impossible. Right, we'll stop over here.